May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 900. Say, wast thou not a captive born, and art thou not a captive led, with fetters loaded every morn, and chained down each night in bed? Do not thy lusts beset thee still, and take thee captive at their will. Hymn number 900.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 10, and the first 10 verses. And then from Paul's epistle, first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3. First reading together from the book of Numbers, chapter 10, and the first 10 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance for ever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, reading from chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May the Lord bless to us those two portions of his word of truth, and help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, merciful, kind, and gracious unto us, we do thank thee, Lord, for the privilege and for the opportunity once more to gather together in thy name and upon this thy day, the Lord's day. And we do pray, Lord, that we may each be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day. O Lord, do come to all our help and all our need at this time. We come, Lord, in all our own insufficiency, our own weakness, and we come, Lord, with all our own helplessness, but Lord, with all our great need, and our great need is of thee, Lord, that thou wilt come unto each one of us. Oh, that there might be a reviving in our poor souls, a reviving inwardly and spiritually, that by and through thy grace we may be brought again to feel, Lord, not only our need of thee, but that seeking frame of heart and mind, that we might, Lord, be those blessed with a teachable spirit at this time, that we might learn and know of thee. And Lord, we are poor things, cannot attain unto the things of the Spirit in and of ourselves, thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord, that we are sinful dust and ashes, and Lord, nothing in and of ourselves. And, O Lord, we are like unto poor Jacob, helpless Jacob, and Jacob who is very low and very small. How shall Jacob arise? O Lord, he cannot arise of himself. And Lord, we have learnt the truth of that, that we cannot arise by and through ourselves naturally and with any strength of our own. It will not suffice us, Lord. But, oh, pour out thy Spirit and grace upon us. Then can Jacob arise. Then can Jacob be blessed with an hearing ear. Then Jacob can be blessed with an understanding heart and mind. Then Jacob can receive of the things of Jesus through thy Spirit and be blessed. And Lord, thou art our only hope at this time. And as we come before thee, O, look down upon us, Lord. O, do, Lord, bring us near to thyself. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for that word of the centurion. Speak the word only, and oh, with power into our poor souls, to lift us up, Lord, above this earth and time state things, to lift us up out of self, Lord, and all those things concerning self, to lift us up, Lord, above all the inferior things of this life, above the veil, Lord, and where thou art, and Lord, where we can indeed delight in thee, and seek, Lord, thy pleasure towards us, and see and behold thee to be that God of mercy unto sinners. And truly, Lord, knowing the truth and the blessing of that mercy, and as we sang our first hymn together, O Lord, it is all of mercy that thou dost look down upon any one of us, that thou dost have anything at all to do with any one of us. Thy rich mercy, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he hath loved us. And Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast shown unto us thy rich mercy and love, that it should come to sinners, the wonderment of it, Lord. But, O Lord, the praise and the blessing, Lord, due unto thy name, unto all those that have known and felt and realized that mercy and love of our God in the person of thy dearly beloved Son. And Lord, truly, isn't it in what Christ is and what Christ hath done for sinners? Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for that mercy that flows through thy precious sin-atoning blood. Oh, that blood to cleanse and to heal from all sin and defilement. That blood that is able to heal and to restore, to bring the sinner, Lord, to thy feet, and to know, Lord, the blessing of peace and pardon through that blood. Lord, do draw near, and Lord, may it be that we shall be found before thee with those true, thankful hearts in adoration to thy name. And Lord, the wonderful mercy that God's love should be shown unto any one of us, to bring us, Lord, to see the wonderment of it in the cross of Jesus. Oh, Lord, may we be brought again to realize the truth and the blessing. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Lord, what a mercy it is that thou art the friend of sinners. And, Lord, that thou didst sit and eat with them. And, Lord, we pray, be present with us at this time. Dwell amongst us, Lord. And, Lord, may our hearts be united in faith and love and adoration to thy name. May we be enabled, Lord, to seek the things of the Spirit. And, Lord, bless us each with some token of thine especial love in our souls, a token, Lord, in the way. For, Lord, we are poor and we are needy. And, Lord, we are those who are so dependent and trusting in and upon thee that thou wilt confirm us again and again in our pilgrimage journey that we are thine, that thou art ours in ties of blood. O Lord, we want the token again in our poor souls that we are amongst the living. And, a truth, the living, he shall praise thee, even as I do this day. Oh, the words of thy servant Hezekiah, truly the words of thy people, time and again, as they continue in their pilgrimage journey, we have much to thank thee for, and we thank thee, Lord, for every token and confirmation in our souls in the way. So do come, Lord, to each one of us in a very real and personal way, and grant to us, Lord, some portion of living bread, or that bread of life that is in Christ Jesus, and all that that is food for hungry living souls, and that, Lord, that we come begging for and seeking, Lord, at thy hand, some portion, Lord, and bless us and help us, Lord, to live upon thee, to partake of thee, and, Lord, the blessings of salvation again in our souls, the doctrines of free grace. Oh, let them drop as the rain into our poor souls, Lord, that our souls might live and live upon Christ, live upon his gospel, live upon his promises, live upon the blessings, Lord, of eternal life, which belong to thy people through Christ. O Lord, show them again and again unto us as we journey on, Lord, and through this barren wilderness, Lord. Be our only stay, our only hope, our only need as we journey on. Help us, Lord, to live upon thee and to serve thee day by day. And may we constantly know that healing of thy precious blood to cleanse us, Lord, from all defilement, the sins that beset us, Lord, in our path, word, thought, and deed. And day by day, Lord, as we are brought to know them and to feel them. But, oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that the fountain of thy precious blood is still open today for those, Lord, who have been brought to feel the solemn truth of their sinnership. And, Lord, we do pray that we might flee to thee and receive the blessing at thy hand. For thou art righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Lord, where could the poor and the guilty sinner fly? O the publican found the place. O that place where mercy was to be found. That mercy through blood is only plea and our only plea. That mercy through blood, I make my plea. God be merciful to me. Do draw near to us each, then, Lord, we pray. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing us to this day. Lord, we have many things to thank thee for, but it is a mercy that though we forget thee, and we confess that we forget thee, but thou, Lord, hast not forgotten us, and that is our mercy, Lord. Thou hast not forgotten us, because thy word declareth it pleased the Lord to make you his people. And so, Lord, thou wilt not forget those whom thou hast a purpose of love and grace unto, but we solemnly have to confess that we often forget thee. And yes, Lord, as we journey on, so often, Lord, we forget to include thee in many things concerning our lives. We forget, Lord, to be found in much thankfulness, Lord, for the many mercies that we know and understand day by day. They're multitudinous. But, O Lord, we, Lord, betimes become forgetful of them, for thou art ever with and near thy people, a God who is near at hand, and a God whose thoughts are always upon thy people and towards them. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. O Lord, put us into mind more and more, Lord, of thy continued mercies to us, thy keeping power in our hearts, or that faith that is able to overcome, that faith, Lord, that is able to preserve, and that fear of the Lord in our hearts. O Lord, we pray for these blessings and these mercies in our poor souls, and that we might be found as those, indeed, that shall always set thee before us in all our concerns, in all our needs. O, to frequent the throne of thy grace. O, to know what it is, Lord, to call upon thee, for thou hast bidden us, and to commit all our concerns into thine ever merciful hands. O, help us to come there, Lord. Help us to come, Lord, with nothing in our hands, in all our helplessness and need. And, Lord, thou wilt hear the prayer of the destitute. Thou hast promised to do so, Lord. Thou wilt not despise their prayer. And, Lord, we thank thee for that mercy. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Help us, Lord, prayerfully to venture upon thee, to tell thee all our heart and all our concerns. And, Lord, may it be so with all poor seeking sinners at this time, and who seek to know thee in thy salvation. O Lord, may they be encouraged unto thee. Thou hast not said to the seeking seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. O, true seekers, Lord, appear unto them. Show them, Lord, that mercy in salvation, that mercy in Jesus upon the cross. Oh, that it may be a day, this day, Lord, if it be thy gracious will, where thou wilt gather unto thyself those predestinated to believe and to receive Jesus in his blood and his righteousness. Lord, these things we commit into thine ever merciful hands, and so undertake. And we pray, Lord, dwell with thy people, Zion, this day. Be with all the gatherings together, and dwell in the midst of them, Lord. Hear all the prayers and the petitions of thy saints. Give answers of peace to them. Draw near, Lord, with thy sent servants. Help them to minister forth thy gospel grace this day. Those, Lord, whom thou wilt use as instruments in thy hand to proclaim the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, speak through them by thy word, and cause the souls of thy people to live spiritually upon thyself, to be spiritually edified, Lord, inwardly, and that they may grow in grace and knowledge of thee. Lord, help thy servant to speak in thy name. O Lord, speak through him by thy Spirit, and show him what to say, Lord. We are dependent, Lord, and look to thee. Lord, fill this earthen vessel, and Lord, fill it with the good treasure of thy gospel grace, and Lord, through thy Spirit, or that it may be that it shall go forth into the hearts, lives of thy people here. Do open their hearts, Lord, to hear and to receive. Pray that all that is attended to in thy name at this time shall be to thy honour and thy glory, that we may exalt thee, Lord, in our poor and imperfect way, but knowing, Lord, that thou hast done great things for us. Be with us then, Lord. Pardon our every sin. We ask these mercies in and through the name and the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 989. Ye captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free. Hymn 989.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, and reading from the verses 21 to 23. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, reading from verse 21 to 23. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Seeking the help of the Lord, I would wish to speak from these words today. Some of the things that are set forth here, I may but briefly touch upon them, but there may be other things which I may be led to speak at length upon. But all of them are precious things that are here shown to us. It appears to me that everything belongs to the Lord, dear people. Everything. Nothing to be left out. We may think that to be strange when we think of the world, when we think of life, and we think of death. But then the answer of all things, in that all things belong to us, is in the closing words, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Paul truly used an instrument in the Lord's hand upon this occasion, was writing this epistle to the church at Corinth because they needed much teaching and much instruction. They needed rebukes and chastening. The Lord used him as such. And do we not need this ourselves? There were contentions amongst them. Remember that Paul was an instrument in the Lord's hand into the establishing of the church at Corinth. He preached there for about 18 months. The Lord said to him, I have much people in this city. But then they became weak. They became, as you might say, a little spiritually discerned. Their poor minds had been drawn astray, led astray. And that wisdom that drew them to Christ, that hidden wisdom in a mystery, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation which God gave and wrought for sinners, they began to turn from that wisdom and became carnal. Carnal. They were making judgments between the Lord's ministers. Must be very careful, dear friends, in making judgments in respect of the Lord's ministers. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and then also in the words of our text of Cephas, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Why, Paul is ready to say in a moment that they're nothing. And dear friends, isn't that a truth? In respect of the Lord's ministers, they're nothing in and of themselves. It is only the Lord that binds through his Spirit and power, speaketh through them and useth them. One thing must be considered in respect of Paul, Apollos, Cephas, all his ministers, all his sent servants. They all blow the gospel trumpet. And we read together in the book of Numbers chapter 10 of those two silver trumpets, and they were both made of one piece. Now silver defines the purity of the gospel. They're a type of the gospel. The gospel trumpet which must be blown and is blown today. Now they were silver, the purity of God's word. And then they were made of one piece. You know, they were manufactured in one piece. Even in those days, there wasn't a seam upon them where they were joined together. They were of one piece. Oh, they had skills, manufacturing skills, even in those days. But the important truth of this, they were to produce a sure and a certain sound. Now the Lord is that one who hath raised up each and every one of his ministers to preach his everlasting gospel. And this is another important truth. I'll come to grace and abilities in a moment. But in the first chapter of Jeremiah and in verse 5 we have this truth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Dear friends, that has been the truth in every generation of time. They were sanctified and set apart, dear friends, in eternity before. God knew whom he would raise up. His servants, his ministers. He says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls. I have set them upon thy walls. Now the Lord has ordained every one of them. The Lord has raised them up to preach his gospel. In the church at Corinth here, there were those deceivers that had come amongst them. Those that had led them aside, turned them aside, and they were now beginning to choose between the Lord's ministers. The Lord's ministers are given differing graces, differing skills to preach his word. And we must take knowledge of that as a church and people, not only here, but all of us in our denomination. The Lord has raised up his servants and ministers to preach his gospel. And dear friends, seek the Lord that he might give an hearing ear to hear and to receive their word. Because every minister that the Lord has raised up and given to his people, they're gifts to the church, and they belong to the church. Every one of them belong to the church. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're not our own. Dear friends, to please and do what we like and preach what we like. No. Under the power and influence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And dear friends, we must not begin to choose. Must not begin to make differences between the Lord's servants. They are each one of them are gifts from the Lord, gifts to his church, to his people. Some are pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, some prophets. The Lord will use them in that way and manner which is pleasing to him. But he will also use them in the particular word that they will preach. I've heard more ministers since I've been removed to the West Midlands than ever before. And I've heard quite a few at the chapel to which I now attend. And one or two of them, they come and seemingly differing texts, but the same message. Now, we mustn't argue against that. The message appears to be the same. And I think and believe it to be in this way. The gospel days are the last times. But I do believe that our times now are the last times in the gospel. And I do believe they're solemn times. And that salvation appears to me on many occasions to be salvation set forth to the saving of souls. And that appears to be much of the preaching that I've heard. And friends, we must never tire of it. We must never tire of it. Our days upon the earth are but very few. We will come to that a little later, today perhaps. But the gospel trumpet is being sounded today. And there's a great need for it to be sounded. There are calamities, chaos, vanities in this world, uprisings, evils, vain pleasures. More today, I believe, than at any time. This salvation is to be preached, and I believe. I do not believe in pointing to days or weeks, months or years, when the Lord shall appear again the second time. We're not informed. But I do believe this truth. We are in the last days. And I will speak of that in a moment as we speak of the world. But this truth, take knowledge of the Lord's servants. They bring forth a message that the Lord holds for your souls. They watch for your souls. They carry a message, and sometimes it is the burden of the word of the Lord. Yes, it might be sin, dear friends. But friends, sin is most solemn. Never tire, friends, of hearing this in respect of sin. If we're not delivered from our sin, if our sin isn't put away from us, then, dear friends, we shall die in our sins. And the pit of corruption is open, and it will swallow us up. They bear a message. Now let us be found as those that are wise, not the unwise. They were becoming very unwise. They were becoming carnal. We know that Apollos was very eloquent in the scriptures. Apollos Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it is God. God alone that giveth the increase. God alone will use them. But dear friends, hear them, all of them. Now the Lord has given pastors, evangelists and so forth. The evangelists today will be those who are what we may term as supplies in the ministry. Now we're all in that place that the Lord has put us. Pastors are pastors. They have their pastorates. The servants of the Lord that are those now continuing to supply, the Lord has commissioned them to it. But hear them all, dear friends. But pray. Because there are promises in respect of these things. He says, I will give you pastors according to my heart that shall teach you knowledge. You see, and it is right to pray for what the Lord has promised that he will give. And then it is right for a minister to pray. I will give you pastors, Lord, if there be a little flock, and who seeketh an under shepherd, and it is thy will, then that that one should submit to that will. It is a promise. I will give you pastors. I do go to chapels, and I hear deacons praying for pastors. And it is a proper thing to do so, isn't it? And I know of the ministers of the gospel that have come to the place that I now worship at. And they pray from the pulpit. If it be thy will, gracious Lord, give this little company of thy people a pastor. You see, we should pray to the Lord about these things. You see, a pastor is more intimate towards the people, to the flock. And I just give one indication of this. I went to visit one of the Lord's dear old saints whose husband had passed away a little while ago now, not too long ago, but I went to visit her. And she said to me, oh, I did wish at that time, when her husband had passed away, that we had a pastor. Oh, I did want some comfort. I did want some word. I wanted some support and strength. Oh, and I did wish that we had a pastor. Dear friends, we must not forget that, have we? You see, we must not forget the flock, their needs. Well, I know that it wasn't the Lord's will that there was a pastor, but she knew what a pastor meant to her. She has sat under a pastorate before. So we must not forget these things. Now then, this is the blessing. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Not a fool, dear friends, as careless and indifferent in respect of this life and many things, not that kind of foolishness. But to be brought to that place again, where the Lord broke us up, where the Lord humbled us, where the Lord made us low, brought us to nothing in and of ourselves, brought us into great need, into a spiritual poverty, that we were constantly looking up to him. Yes, we may think of that word that we have read together, that the church, our God's husbandry, and it is him that broke up the fallow ground of our hearts. It is him that brought us, friends, into a nothingness in and of ourselves, spoiled us of our own wisdom, naturally speaking. You see, it's the wisdom of the wise. And friends, it will not do in the matters of real and true religion. We cannot bring the wisdom of the wise, dear friends, into the wisdom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we must be spoiled of our own wisdom, our own so-called knowledge. We will deceive ourselves. Oh, to be made low, to be brought nothing, and to be taught of the Lord, to show our need of Him, to be brought to that place of a dependency upon His name. And this is becoming a fool, dear friends, submitting to the will of the Lord, the humble and the contrite spirit that the Lord giveth. That is what we want, that broken, contrite spirit, to be brought to the feet of Jesus. And that is to become a fool, that he may be wise. Because now we'll be willing and ready to be taught at the feet of Jesus. And now this truth: therefore let no man glory in men, not in the ministers of the Lord. That is all they are, men. They're nothing. Not to glory in them as men, that was their choosing. Paul had graces and skills. Apollos had graces and skills. Cephas had graces and skills. Let us be ready to hear them all, to receive them all, and to seek a blessing from them all. They are speaking the words of the Lord. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. I quoted this word last Lord's Day, only just very briefly, in part of my sermon, but it seems to have hung about me this last week. I've been on holiday, and it's come upon my mind, gone away but come again. All things are yours. I just want to open up this truth in a certain way. I know that the Lord will show His servants how to speak from His word. All things are yours. Do you know that I thought about that poor man Lazarus and that rich man? That poor man Lazarus, all things are yours. Can we believe it? Sat at the rich man's gate, begging, dogs licking his sores, got nothing, nothing to own, nothing to possess, naturally. The dogs licking his sores, the poor man, as it were undernourished, begging for his daily bread. All things are yours. Can it be so? Well, I tell you something. The rich man had certain things. We're all God's creatures, and we all partake of those things that God has provided for us to live by. In Him we all live and move and have our being. But I would like just to make the comparisons as we go through the words that are set before us here in respect of that poor Lazarus and that rich man. That poor man Lazarus had all things. Everything belonged to him. The rich man, well, he was rich in this world, and he could probably seek and desire anything that he wished. But he had nothing. He had nothing. Nothing at all. All things are yours. The servants of the Lord, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the ministers of the Lord today, they're all yours. All gifts by our God. And if the Lord has given you a gift, a present, do we thank him for it? Do we thank the Lord? It's his provision, his providing. He knows our needs. He will furnish his ministers with his word, his truth, and his grace. And so all things are yours. We will speak of some of those things. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, they bear the words of truth and grace. And friends, have we come to the Lord's house this morning? All things are yours. Have you come with a deep need in your poor soul? Was it his word? Is it that we've prayed for? Is it that we've sought the Lord for? A word for our souls, a word in season, a word to meet our case and need? What are your conditions? I don't know them. But have you set them before the Lord this morning? Well, Paul and Apollos and Cephas, you see, they bore the word of the Lord. And they all at the church at Corinth received of their words, heard them. And they began to be carnal in respect of them. The Lord's servants belong to the church. And they watch for the souls of the Lord's dear people. And the word that they will bring and bear before you are the words that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has laid upon their heart to preach and to set forth. And by and through that, the Lord knoweth the needs of his people. And so it would be incumbent upon us in our little prayers when we come to the Lord's house to ask him to meet your varying and differing needs in the gospel. Now, I don't want to open up at this present time those things in respect of Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the ministers of the gospel today, because I do believe that we have those precious things shown to us in the last part of our text. The world. Is the world ours? Does it belong to us? Well, we must look at this in a proper way and manner. God created the world. He spake all things into being. And when he spake all things into being, he said at the close of them each, and it was good. He saw that it was good. Dear friends, it was perfect, wasn't it? When we think of the things of the world, we think of everything. The universe, the sun, moon, stars, all the elements, everything. Everything created, all life, creeping things, and then it was to be inhabited. This is one of the precious truths. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. And in this sense, the world belongs to the Lord's dear people. All things are yours. In Isaiah 45 and verse 18, it says this, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is none else. He formed it to be inhabited, be fruitful and multiply. What is the truth in respect of that? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, he had a people that should be born upon this earth. Now the earth, dear friends, was created. It was perfect. All the elements, everything whereby this people were able to live and to continue. Now there was a very solemn truth in respect of this world. Adam, he enjoyed union and communion with his God. He spake with his God. He loved his God. They walked together. They spake together. Real union and fellowship, a love towards each other, peace amongst them, absolute and perfect. But he gave one condition, and that was that our first parents were not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day wherein they partook of that, they would surely die. Well, dear friends, obey and live, disobey and die. They disobeyed. First it was Eve, then Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, sin entered into the world. And dear friends, from thence, see the ruin, see the desolation, see the corruption, see the evil. And where does that come from, dear friend? It comes from the heart of man. Everything that we may see and everything that we may behold, friends, is by and through the solemn truth of the fall that is in man by nature. And then this truth, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. How can it be, dear friends, that all things are yours? The world is yours. As I just quoted, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. This world was to be peopled. But friends, in and amongst that people was an election through grace. Yes, a people whom the Lord loved. And God so loved the world. And this is the precious truth. Dear friends, may it be applied to each one of us. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. His only and dearly begotten Son came into this world. This was his humiliation. Came in the nature of the brethren. He was looked upon as a sinner. He was despised. He was rejected. He was looked upon as a man of naught. His humiliation. And then, dear friends, he was thrust upon the cross between the transgressors, because they accounted him to be a transgressor. But dear friends, this is the truth, isn't it? He came to bring reconciliation to the transgressors. He made intercession for them. And this is another truth, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Whomsoever believeth, dear friends, beg and pray that we are part of this word. Beg and pray for it. Because, friends, it is a gathering out of this world. Yes, we were born in this world. But that is where Christ came. That is where Christ found us. In our sins and in our corruptions. In this world that lieth in wickedness. Christ came. This is the mercy of our God. And then to know the blessedness of this truth, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's Jesus, dear friends, upon the cross at Calvary. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved. No. And then the blessedness of this truth, that Jesus laid down his life. Oh, think of that truth. Dear friends, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling a sinful world to himself. Yes, changing them, renewing them, converting them. Oh, pray that this may be the blessing to each here, young and old together. All things are yours, the world. This is where Christ met with his people. This is where Christ wrought salvation for them. And this is where Christ delivered and saved them. And this is where Christ translated them into the kingdom of his dearly beloved Son. That no more are they in the world or not of the world. They're in the world but not of it. They've been delivered from all its deceitful shores. And this is the mercy. In this sense, that the dear Lord Jesus now, all things have been given into his hand. The Father loveth the Son, and all things have been given into his hand. He's managing us. He's ruling, reigning, King of kings, Lord of lords, over all nations, all people and tongues. And dear friends, all the calamities in the earth, they all are those things that are brought to pass by divine permission, because all his purposes are today being fulfilled. We may think men and women, yes, with all their wisdom trying to put every matter right, dear friends, but if it doesn't follow the counsel of our God, then he will overrule in it, dear friends. All things have been given into the hands of Jesus. And though all things may be looking out of place, dear friends, but they're not. They're in place. And this is one of the reasons I believe that things are drawing near to an end. But don't be disappointed in it, dear friends. Don't be disappointed in it. We've got everything. The church have got everything. Everything belongs to them. The world. Because Jesus is ruling and reigning for them in this world. He is managing every affair for his people. He has thee in heart and in mind as he is ruling and reigning in the earth. The world. And dear friends, it is in this world that the Lord's dear people, though there may appear to be calamity and chaos everywhere, it is here where the Lord's dear people have peace and rest in their souls. And we prove that today, do we not? Every day, but on particular the Lord's Day, the day of rest, the gospel rest, the peace that is in the gospel, all the comforts and blessings of salvation that belong to us. We're in the world, but not of it. And friends, we can rejoice that we have been separated from it, that it hasn't got our hearts. Now, dear friends, the solemn truth about that rich man, let us just remind ourselves. He probably needed nothing, but how poor he was. You could almost, I believe, being rich, obtain anything that he wanted. He could live in a very ostentatious manner. Yes, I believe he did. But you see, that poor Lazarus probably hardly got anything on his back. But dear friends, this world belonged to him. And that was his mercy. The Lord still provided for him. The Lord looked upon him. The Lord loved him. The Lord owned him. And the Lord blessed him. And what did that poor man have? Why, he was rich in faith. The other rich man had nothing like that, dear friends. He was rich in faith. He was rich towards God. He was rich towards a precious Christ. That is the poor man. And dear friends, I want the place of that poor man, the place of Lazarus. The riches of this world, dear friends, and all that it has to offer. Nothing. But then this truth, and this is the blessing, or life, and it means every part of our life. All things are yours, life. The life that the Lord has given to us. Our very birth into this world is by and through him. And life is naturally speaking. Everything that the Lord has taught us and shown to us in respect of our lives naturally, that he is our provider, that he supplies all our needs, all his care is upon and towards his people. And in this life, he knows all about us, every part of us. All things are yours. Life is ours. And it's a life that Paul could say in this sense, the life that I now live, in the flesh I live, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, not just a life natural, where we look to the Lord to provide for us in every way, to lead us and to direct us in all our path. But oh, the blessing and the truth, the life that Jesus gave for his people. You know, we've been on holiday and there's a visitor's book, and we just read through one or two of what people have said, you know, in respect of their holiday and so forth. But at the close of one of them, this lady said, "We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this week and his life." Well, that was quite a surprise, entered into a visitor's book. She wasn't ashamed to acknowledge that Jesus was her Christ, it appears. "We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this week." You see, the week that they had shared with her husband, and then thanked him for his life. Dear friends, isn't it true? Have we ever thanked the Lord for his life? His life here upon the earth? Yes, came in our nature, the life that he lived, his preaching, his miracles, all that Jesus came to do, then the life that he laid down, the life that he gave. You see, thanking him for his life. Well, it was through his death that we have life, isn't it? The life that he laid down. This is the blessing. And now we have life. Through his death we have life. A life spiritual. A life living upon him. A life seeking him. A life, dear friends, at the throne of grace. Because that is spirit and life in our souls. The life of Christ. Life, dear friends, is ours because of the life that Jesus lived and the life that he gave for his people. And that is the life that Lazarus had. That was the enjoyment of Lazarus. The rich man couldn't speak anything about these things. Didn't know anything about them. The cross of Christ was a stumbling block to him. But not to Lazarus. No. The poor man lived a poor life here below, naturally speaking. But he had a principle of grace in his soul. A new birth, a new life. And friends are going out to Jesus, seeking those things that are above. And where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Is this the life that we live, dear friends? A life living spiritually upon the Lord, seeking him. Yes, this is part of it. But the throne of grace also. These are the living, you see. The living, I quoted it in prayer. The living, they shall praise thee, even as I do this day. The prayer of Hezekiah. What a mercy it is to be one of these that are living, living souls, born again souls, living upon Christ, living upon his mercy, living upon his gospel, living upon his word and truth. Living. Oh, all things are yours. And then, dear friends, isn't it he that keepeth our souls in life? Oh, it is, dear friends. I think, just thinking of that word in Psalm 66. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He holdeth our soul in life. He is the keeper of body and soul together, dear friends. Oh, and we do need him, don't we? We do need him, dear friends, to keep us, to keep our poor souls in life, to sustain our poor souls, to preserve our poor souls. We cannot keep ourselves, dear friends. Oh, we learn it by many lessons, but we cannot keep ourselves. And he preserveth our souls in life. He'll preserve us and keep us from falling. We do fall, but friends, that complete falling, he will preserve us. Oh, he preserved David. He preserved Solomon. Oh, they're lessons for us, dear friends. We cannot keep ourselves, but he preserves us. He does preserve our lives. And this is our mercy today. And it is the Lord. Oh, what a mercy it is. Holdeth our soul in life. And is he not holding our souls in life today? Does he, friends, come by his quickening spirit and grace? Quicken us by his word. Bring us again to seek after him. To seek after him who is the way, the truth and the life of our souls. And he preserves it through his word, sustains it. Think of all his doctrine. Think of all the characters and offices that he holds for us. Friends, all belong to us. Oh, to live this life unto Jesus, a life that he has given. See, our time has gone, but Lazarus had a soul in possession, and the Lord kept him, and the Lord preserved him, and watched over him. And, you know, when we think of this word, all things are yours. Oh, it belonged to this poor man Lazarus, and to all of the Lord's dear people today, his poor ones, his afflicted ones, his tried ones. Think of this life. Think of our afflictions. Think of our troubles. Think of our trials. Are they not those all things that work together for good? Isn't that word connected with this here? All things are yours. Because the Lord will take of those things that afflict us and trouble us and try us, and overrule in them and sanctify them to us and bless them to us. You see, it was in the life of Jesus, wasn't he? Wasn't he oppressed and afflicted in his life? Yes, dear friends, while the Lord's dear people will follow him. But what a mercy it is that in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. He was afflicted. He showed pity and mercy upon his people. Oh, this is the mercy. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will address the Sunday School this afternoon, and tomorrow Mr. Pocock will preach at our special services at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And God willing, Mr. Ince will preach again next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. In 535.
atone and bless those things attended to in thy name at this time, that thy name shall have all the glory and the praise. Pray be with us, Lord, as we meet together at the Sunday school. And we pray, help us to draw near to thee, that the evening sacrifice, if it be thy gracious will. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.